7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and in this episode, we are breaking down the Oakland Raiders, and it is going to be the AFC West this week, and we're going to start off with them and then go with Kansas City and kind of go from there. Guys, how you doing?
I am great. We're talking about Tim's favorite head football coach, Jack Del Rio. Tim, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. My favorite part of tonight's show is there is less than 25 people on our panel tonight. I'm not sure if you noticed this. There's the three of us, the same as every single episode, the same guys. We dominate each episode, not 15 randoms all throughout the week.
Oh, my God.
What? What's wrong with that? You don't like consistency? I like consistency. I feel like our fans like consistency. Everyone in the NFL hopes to have consistent players. Consistent players, consistent fantasy advice with the people you know and love. Joshua Snack Stevens, Tom Big Money Schultz, and me, your friend, Timmy Streets Thompson.
We like to call you Terry.
Yeah. You're more of a Terry.
Call me Terry. That's fine. You know what? This message goes out to one Josh Schultz. Keep talking, young man. Keep talking and see what happens. You can call me Terry. That's fine. You steal your friend's girlfriend. But guess what? That's not going to help you in the fantasy world. Finish over 500 for a change and come talk to me, young man.
Again, everybody, we are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tim, at Pony Cake Tom. And you guys can always email us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. And then always check out our website, ponycakesports.com. As well, check out our buddies on cleatgeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at cleatgeeks. Let them know that we're the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of stuff, articles-wise. So if you like reading football articles, wrestling, baseball, basketball, all that good stuff, check that out. Tim, what do they have in store for us this week?
They have the 2013 replay of the curling championship. Men's, women's, also decathlon coming up.
All right. Let's go ahead and move right on there. We have the Oakland Raiders. Last year, they finished the season 12-4, and they tied with Kansas City for the lead in the AFC West standings. And, scored a little bit more points over Kansas City, let up more points than Kansas City did at 385. And Kansas City only let up 311, so pretty good season last year for them. They did lose one Derek Carr at the end of the year, so kind of a heartbreaker in a sense. And I kind of want to bring that injury up real quick, because that injury, you could just see the whole team was deflated by the end of that season. Once he went down, he knew he was hurt. I loved his reaction at first. He's like, I was hurt, and then he called over, and then he started crying. He knew, you know, his season was over. So a little frustrating. What did you guys think about the season they had last year?
I thought it was a great season. I think back to, I believe Tom mentioned it towards the end of the season there when we were talking about it, how that was that lineman's first sack he'd given up all year long. I mean, talk about a kick in the pants for him. So, definitely sucks for Derek Carr, sucks for the Raiders, but, new season, and, you know, it's done and over with now, right? No point in dwelling on the past.
This Raiders team can be very, very good. They've built themselves the right way through the draft. They've hit tons of home runs lately. They just need to play a little defense, keep Derek Carr healthy, and they are going to be competing to be the representative for the AFC in the Super Bowl this year.
Let's talk about some of the guys they lost in free agency and some of the guys that they gained in free agency for this offseason. Quarterback Matt McGloin, he ends up leaving, going to the Eagles for a one-year deal. Michael Rivera, tight end, who's kind of been there for the last couple years, and every year has been, this is the year Rivera is going to break out. Well, it hasn't been the case. He signs a two-year deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nate Allen, free safety, ends up going to the Miami Dolphins. DJ Hayden, corner, he's only 27 years old. He ends up leaving, going to the Detroit Lions for a one-year deal. Who else we have? Andre Holmes, wide receiver, going to the Buffalo Bills, a three-year deal there. Latavius Murray, who we, of course, like to call Layabouts Murray, he ends up going to the Minnesota Vikings, three-year deal there, which I mean, I know we've talked in length about Latavius Murray because we've talked in length about one Dalvin Cook. So that signing there is kind of big in my eyes, but at the same time could be not so big. So it is what it is. And then we have Watson, right tackle, ends up going to the Denver Broncos. Stacy McGee, defensive tackle, going to the Washington Redskins. And then Malcolm Smith, linebacker, going to the San Francisco 49ers. What are you guys' thoughts on the some of the guys that left during the offseason for them?
For me, the biggest loss was Malcolm Smith. They already had a pretty weak linebacking core, and losing one of their better linebackers in general is going to hurt that defense.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be very, very interesting to see. I still think it's going to be a battle between the Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs for the division title. But with that being said, you know, it's a contradiction of you know, different types of styles. You know, you have the Chiefs and even the Broncos with you know, solid defenses. The Chiefs, I still think, is the better overall defense. But you have those two, you know, as dominant defenses, and then you have the Raiders and specifically now the Chargers, you know, even with the injuries that they may have, coming out there with high power offenses. So it'll be very interesting to see. You know, the Chiefs still, you know, put up just under 400 points last year, so not too far behind the 389 for the Chiefs, only just under the 416 that the Raiders came out with last year. So it'll be interesting to see how this division unravels.
Some of the guys that they acquired during the offseason: quarterback EJ Manuel, coming over from the Buffalo Bills, one-year deal there. We have Jenkins, outside linebacker, coming over from the Dolphins, a one-year deal as well. John Kondo, long snapper, re-signs. Marshall Newhouse, we have right tackle, coming over from the Giants. Cordell Patterson, coming over from the Vikings, two-year deal. And one tight end, Jared Cook, coming over from the Green Bay Packers for a two-year, $10.6 million deal.
I think both additions of Patterson and Cook can help this offense out quite a bit. Patterson, he's not the greatest wide receiver out there, but he's going to help on special teams. We've seen him return kicks left and right for the Vikings. That's just adding another dimension to this Raiders team. And Jared Cook, what Jared Cook are we going to get? Are we going to get the one that we saw with Green Bay last season in the playoffs that really found his rapport with a good quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, and he was proving to be that matchup nightmare that we've thought he was going to be for the last few seasons? I'm interested to see how much he's going to help this offense out. They were already an explosive offense, and I think Cook's only going to make it better.
I think you two should learn how to read. His name is Cordarrelle Patterson, so you should probably learn how to say that the right way. And I feel like he is the biggest addition to this offense. I feel like Michael Crabtree is primed to take a big step back, and I feel like Cordarrelle Patterson could potentially be the breakout guy for this Oakland Raiders team.
Tim, is it clear to say that you think Patterson's going to be the Ted Ginn for the Saints? Right. He's the next best deep threat in the NFL?
Funny you say that. I was actually going to compare him to Ted Ginn if you didn't cut me off. He has the opportunity, just like Ted Ginn does, to come in and be a factor on this team. Listen, with what Michael Crabtree has done opposite of Amari Cooper, he has benefited towards the end of his career because of Amari Cooper, right? Fair to say?
And a good quarterback.
And obviously, there has to be someone throwing him the ball. But I feel like Cordarrelle Patterson has the same opportunity now coming in. Crabtree is going to, you know, potentially take a step back, in my opinion. And with Amari Cooper still getting the looks, I feel like Patterson is going to be a good flyer wide receiver this year.
Tim, can we do a steak dinner bet? I will give you Patterson plus 300 yards against Crabtree.
Ooh, plus
steak dinner bet.
Make plus, a goddamn 500 plus, yards. Yeah. It doesn't
Who's
matter.
Trying to trick him, Josh?
No, plus 300, no injury clause?
Yes.
I mean, what do I... Listen, I'm not going to pay the bet regardless. Yeah, no, you know what? With a plus 300 yard difference, sure. Now, the touchdown ratio, I feel like, may be a little bit... a little bit different, but no, I'll take plus 300 yards. If anything, we should do fantasy points here. We're talking about, well, let's wait.
That helps
let's
me even
wait.
More.
Let's wait until we get to my fantasy breakdown.
Let me ask you this. Is Patterson one of your sleepers down the road?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, speaking of that, go to DraftingSleepers.com, the social network for fantasy sports. Visit Drafting Sleepers today after the show. Sign up for free. It's just a network that you can talk about fantasy sports, baseball, basketball, football, all that stuff. They all talk about that. I've seen Patterson's name on it. I laugh at everybody. Just like Tim, so...
You can laugh at everybody, and don't wait till the show's over. Listen to the show, and go on there and say, you know what? Tim is right, and Cordarrelle Patterson is going to take me to the Fantasy Football Championship.
Well, speaking of some of the guys that can make some moves and make some impact on your team, let's talk about the draft, Tom. Go ahead.
Oakland Raiders have spent big-time money in free agency the last few seasons trying to fix their pass defense, who finished last year 24th based on yards per game last season. For people like Tim, that is not very good. You know, it was about time that they invested some early draft capital into a cornerback to help that unit out. With the 24th pick, the Raiders selected cornerback Garyon Conley from The Ohio State University. Garyon, he's been a very consistent player for the Buckeyes, very reliable as well the last two seasons, starting every game for them. He's got that prototype size that you're looking for, that elite athleticism for a starting cornerback that you're looking for in the NFL. Only allowed 37% completion percentage against him last season. He's got great hips and feet, plays the ball very good in the air. He needs to get more physical in the run game like majority of the cornerbacks in this draft class. But if there wasn't the allegations that he sexually assaulted a female right before the draft, I believe that he would have been a top 15 pick in this draft and the second cornerback off the board. Great pick for them. Perfect fit for the Oakland Raiders scheme.
No charges filed. The Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders, three favorite words. It is now weeks, how long, a month and a half after the draft? That was what, April something or other? We're months now post-draft. You know, it was the week of that, you know, he was being investigated. And I'm not trying to clear the guy. I'm not saying he's a good, I don't know the situation in full. But I think that nobody knowing the situation in full is only a good sign for Garyon Conley and the Raiders, that they may have just gotten the steal of the draft right here, because it's still the same status. He's still being investigated. There's no charges filed, and that's it. It's pretty cut and dry at this point that no one knows anything, and guess what? If no one knows anything, dude's going to walk.
Yeah, this is a pretty pretty Raiders pick right here, right? This is normally the Raiders, they go out and they get that high flashy guy. And you can kind of say the same thing with Garyon Conley. You know, he's got a lot of attention going towards him right now for the wrong reason because of those allegations. But it was a pick that I actually didn't know if the Raiders were going to be able to pull off. And shocking they did. And to be honest, it could be, like Tim said, one of the steals of the draft. And getting him as late as they did, it's a great spot for them to make that pick. And at 24, it just makes sense.
The Raiders really came into this draft wanting to fix that 24th ranked pass defense. They double dipped in the second round, got another defensive back, and won safety Obi Melifonwu from UConn. Obi, straight up, he's a freak. You just look at this dude, 6'3", close to 220 pounds. He's got 4.4 speed, 44-inch vertical jump, and almost a 12-foot broad jump. Absolutely insane physical attributes. 8 interceptions in his college career, including 4 last seasons. He also added in 118 tackles last seasons. Very good at coming down and making the plays in the run game. Right now, I don't think he's going to be that free safety project that they're looking for, but he's going to get a lot of play time in their sub packages. He's going to be used and asked to cover those big tight ends, asked to cover those bigger slot wide receivers. He might be playing a little bit of the cornerback for him. But overall, this is a good pick. He's got a very high upside. I just don't think he's going to be that center field prospect that a lot of the Oakland fans think he's going to be.
I love the pick by the Raiders here. Listen, Obi-Wan Kenobi Melifonwu, it is a fantastic pick by them. Like you said, a physical freak, a beast. I feel like he's gonna, you know, be the type of guy they want out there more during the run defense. You know, he can hit. He does have the interceptions, but he's not that center field safety like you alluded to, Tom. He's gonna be more of a potentially more of a specific, you know, down type safety when everything is said and done. I hope I'm wrong. I really enjoyed watching his tape at UConn, but it was more of a literal big fish, small pond type situation where I'm not sure his game at UConn is going to translate to the NFL. But I love this pick mostly because when I think of the Oakland Raiders, I literally picture Obi Malifonwu as one of their football players. So I liked it.
He's been getting a lot of talk about converting to a linebacker. He was doing some testing there and doing testing at corner, doing testing at safety. I think he's best slated for inside the box safety, and I think he's even better as a slot corner. I think he's very good there. I think he excelled. When I watched a lot of my tape on there, I thought he did a very good job. He's just not that center fielder, like Tim said, that center fielder that you're looking for. But there is a safety. I'm drawing the blank on his name, and maybe you can help me out, Tom, and I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. But when he came into the league, he was known as a big-bodied safety, talking about getting switched to a linebacker. And I believe he's still in the league now. I can't remember who he just signed with. But he has basically flamed out from the get-go. But I'm drawing a blank. But he's another comparison to where a big-bodied guy to seeing where he's at now. Well, I just hope I don't see him run that course.
Josh, I'm not sure who you're referring to, but when I think of guys the size, and he's a little bit smaller, but guys the size of Obi Melifonwu, who went to, like, listen, UConn's not a huge football school, right? I think of Brian Urlacher. That's the type of guy. Brian Urlacher came in the league as a safety and transferred to that middle linebacker position, but it all has to do with getting into the right system. I'm not sure that the Oakland Raiders system will fit where Obi Melifonwu ends up playing in his NFL career. My question to you, specifically, if the Raiders are considering moving him to linebacker, would the Raiders have been better off the very next pick, Zach Cunningham by the Houston Texans from Vanderbilt, would they have been better off just going with Cunningham with the very next pick?
I don't think he's going to be moving to linebacker. I think they drafted him to be a safety, to be that nickel safety, to play in dime situations, play nickel corner. They do have a big need at the linebacker spot as well, but you're asking him to play a completely different position. That's a lot to ask for a kid. Plus, he'd probably have to gain a little bit of weight. But I think they're just praying that he's their version of the Cam Chancellor, that Keanu Neal, that big just enforcer, even though he doesn't hit like them, but he can do similar things to those types of players.
Last question I have on Melifonwu. At the end of the day, 10 years from now, we look back on this draft, who was a better pick, Obi Melifonwu or Jabril Peppers?
Ooh, I'd rather have Obi, in all honesty. I don't mind Peppers, but he's kind of in that same boat. Doesn't really have a straight-up position. Both are kind of that jack-of-all-trades player who are going to be asked to move around a lot. But I just like the size and the athleticism that Obi brings to the table.
Taylor Mays is the safety that I was trying to remember. 6'3", 225 pounds, out of USC. He's kind of the same build, you know. I just hope I don't see him go down that road because I don't know. There was so much hype behind Taylor Mays for being so big and so mobile and so agile, and then now we see where he's at. So, and I remember when Taylor Mays was getting talked about, getting drafted about. Man, there was so much hype behind him.
Oh, yeah. Last season, the Raiders only had 25 sacks. That's a league low. It's not very good. They needed to add a disruptive three tech who could come in and help put pressure from the interior on those opposing quarterbacks. I really think they got that with their third round pick of defensive tackle Eddie Vanderdoes from UCLA. He missed all of the 2015 season with an ACL tear and pretty much played like dog shit in the 2016 season. Did not look like his former self. It just did not look like the same player. His 2014 tape, though, it was absolutely awesome, and his Senior Bowl tape looked like that 2014 Eddie. Very athletic for his size, sub 5 second 40, very strong. He had 28 reps in the bench press. if the 2014 Eddie Vanderdoes comes out, plays for Oakland, this will be the best pick of the draft for them.
I'm not sure I agree with you, Tom. It seems like he just seems like the type of guy who everything was in the past. It was everything that, oh, we're building him up, and he was great. I feel like this is a much bigger reach than even the Gary and Conley pick. It's more of a risk. And granted, it's only a third-round pick, but I don't necessarily think that he's going to be... I think best-case scenario, he evolves into a specific down run stopper. That's it.
You need to rewatch his Senior Bowl tape then, Tim, because he was a monster. He was the best interior lineman in practice, in the game, looked like his old-school self, and was a complete wrecking ball in that game.
I remember watching that, but I just hope it's not one of those cases where he just wanted to showcase what he had and what he needed to do to get drafted. And then when he does get drafted, then we see him revert back to his old ways. That's what I hope that we don't see, but we don't know.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Josh. How many times do we see guys coming off of injury or with an injury-ridden past, you know, step up for when it's needed most to be drafted? To pull one over the eyes of executives, which, hey, listen, I'm actually all about that. I love when players do that because, you know, whatever, let players get paid. But at the end of the day, I feel like this was one of the riskier picks of the Oakland Raiders draft.
The Raiders love big, massive offensive linemen, and they got that in the fourth round with their pick of offensive tackle David Sharp. 6'6", 343 pounds, played left tackle at Florida. I think he's a better fit for right tackle in the pros, but right now on the Oakland Raiders depth chart, he's the backup to Donald Penn at left tackle. But he's got very long arms, very strong punch, strong hands. He struggles in space. If the Raiders are asking this kid to move, get to the second level or pole, he's going to struggle. But if you just tell this man to beat the living shit out of the man across from you, he's going to do that. He's going to do it very well. And there was a rumor that he was... I think it was he was legally blind in his right eye, which caused him to get beat a couple times in college, but he's came out and said that is not true. Hopefully that is not true. I'm sure the Raiders did their due diligence, but I like the pick. It fits their mold that they like at the offensive line spot.
I would truly hope that that one of the doctors during combine results and everything else would have let us know if a guy was legally blind out of one eye. I feel like that's definitely a little bit of a reach. While I am unsure on the pick, I just see it as a big guy, a big body with obviously has some, he needs to learn. He needs to be exposed to some things to tighten up his game. With that being said, guys like Donald Penn, like you said, Tom, and Marshall Newhouse, those are the tackles that you want teaching young, big body kids how to play in the NFL. So if there's anyone who could evolve into something, learning in front of fantastic linemen, this is the situation you want to bring them into. So another pick that I definitely do like for the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, I just like the fact that he's played a lot of games.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been playing very well at all those positions. I actually think we could see him end up starting midway through the season. Who knows? I mean, we could see him starting from the get-go. I don't think he's going to be on the left side. I think he's going to be on the right side.
Josh, steak dinner bet. We see him start a game in the NFL with an eye patch. No?
Oh, you're terrible.
All right.
I brought up earlier that the Raiders have that they struggled tremendously with stopping the pass last season. Well, they were almost as bad at stopping the run. Finished 23rd in the league stopping the run. They needed some help in the middle, especially at the linebacking spot. And they added Marquel Lee. He's that big-bodied, old-school thumper. Kind of plays a little bit like Jack Del Rio did back in the day when he was on the Cowboys. But he was a team leader for Wake Forest, two-time captain. Speed and instincts aren't the best.
Why are you pointing at me?
I was ready for you to go, man. No, you don't want anything of it?
No, good.
All right, so he's not the best, but he's, again, someone who they need to get bodies in there, right? At this point, if they're not going to spend high draft capital on the position, which was extreme need, in my opinion, if you're not going to spend the draft capital that is in extreme need, then you have to just fill bodies and try to get a high upside guy. This is what I think that they did right there. They went with a guy with a high ceiling that potentially could have a future.
That's... Yeah, if you're not going to go with like a Jared Davis, you know, their middle linebacking group is not in dire need, like Tim said. But if you're going to replace or if you're going to plug somebody in, you're not going to put a Jared Davis there because Jared Davis is going to sit and not do much. And you're not going to play Jared Davis on special teams. So going out here, getting this kid at this spot, it just plugging holes right here, just adding bodies.
Oakland Raiders had 4 7th-round picks. With their first one, they selected safety Shalom Luani. It'll be a special teams kid right away. Likes to lay the wood. Big-time hitter. Very physical. Probably be a nickel safety at best in his career. With their second one, they added offensive tackle Jalen Ware. Another big kid, 6'8", 295 pounds, though. Little lanky for being 6'8". He's going to need to bulk up a little bit. He's going to be a developmental piece for them. Probably be a practice squad player his first season and be a big-time project for the Raiders. My favorite pick for the Raiders overall was a 7th-rounder. It's a little bit kind of crazy saying that, but it was running back Elijah Hood from UNC. Guys, his idol is Marshawn Lynch. Now he gets to learn from Beast Mode himself. He always said he tried to model his game after Marshawn Lynch. He's that big, physical, battering ram type of a running back. So he's going to be a good fit with Oakland. I would not be surprised if he makes the team and ends up getting some carries this season and possibly be the future back for the Oakland Raiders. And with their final pick, they added another defensive tackle, Trayvon Hester. Solid size and production. Might be playing nose. Might play a little 3-tech for them. But most likely end up on the practice squad as well.
Tom, let me ask you this. Can Elijah Hood play special teams? I honestly don't know. I'm not setting you up for anything here.
Probably wouldn't be the greatest at it, but...
So, I mean, that's... You really think as a, fourth best running back on the team, that he, without the ability to play any special teams...
I think he'll end up playing himself into a top three spot for him.
Wow.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think it's going to go Marshawn Lynch. You're going to have Jalen Richard. And then you'll have this kid here. There's been nothing but good talk coming out of the camps going on and how good he's looked and this and that. And, you know, coming out of North Carolina, somebody had to carry the weight of the worst quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky. So it is what it is.
Yeah, people forget, like, Elijah Hood was a 5-star recruit going into college. He's a former Eagle scout. This kid, he's got a perfect, like... past. He's a good kid overall. He's helped tons of homeless people in the Carolina area.
You really just dropped that.
He's an Eagle Scout.
That's pretty. Come on, man.
Less than 1% of the population in America are Eagle Scouts. And this
kid.
Yeah,
that's because less than 1% of the population gets beat up for the first 15 years of their life.
I just love Elijah Hood.
Sweet mother of
you
pearl.
Look into. Last season, when people were talking about this running back clash, Elijah Hood was being talked about as a top 7, top 8 running back in this class. He was an absolute monster in high school. He had back-to-back 3,000-yard rushing seasons. He's produced. He was a little banged up last year, and I'm expecting a lot from him. And hearing all the positive words, everyone's talking him up in camp already, and I'm expecting a lot from him.
Hey, I don't doubt that. I just don't know what his ability to make the square knot or the sheet bend. You know, I don't know how that affects his NFL career.
I like Elijah, so that's all. I'll leave it at that.
Anything else, Tom?
That's it.
That's it, Josh. Anything?
No, not that much. What would you guys grade this draft for the Raiders here? Apparently, an A for Tom.
No,
Elijah Hood just caps it off.
That's definitely going to help their draft grade. Kind of took I wouldn't say reaches, but there's some risky picks here. I'm not worried about Conley facing any charges, but there's a chance he does. The Obi Mounfanwu. Normally, if you're drafting someone in the second round, I'm expecting them to get a lot of playing time. There's a chance he does, but I don't think he's going to be starting right away. I love the Eddie Vanderdoes pick. Got a lot of guys that fit what they like to do with the Oakland system, but I'm going to give them a B.
I am also going to give them a solid B. I loved everything about they got a steal in Gary and Conley. I mean, outside, unless he gets caught up, but listen, the longer time goes on and things don't, you know, happen, it's better for him. I love the Melon Fonwu pick, and I love what they did late. You know, it's hard to do anything with, what did you say, 4 7th-round picks?
Yep.
I mean, it's hard to do that, but the one kid they got, like you said, Tom, was 6'8 and under 300 pounds. If they can get him, apparently he's never heard of weights before, so hopefully they introduce him to some of those, and he can get over that 300 mark.
I'm going to put it at B minus. I like the Elijah Hood pick, even though Tim hates it.
I just thought he was a freaking nerd ass for being a Boy Scout or whatever the hell he was.
I mean, I thought that they were going to address running back. Well, I thought more or less probably in free agency, and they didn't really do that. You know, Latavius Murray's gone. They had Jalen Rashard. They have Washington. They drafted Washington last year. A lot of hype behind him.
You just said you don't think they addressed the running back position?
No, in free agency. Besides Marshawn Lynch.
Well,
no.
I mean...
Hello? Well, the way I look at it is this, right? You add Marshawn Lynch, there's rumors out there that he's going to have under 200 carries or 200 touches. I just... It's tough for me to bank on a guy that is going to come in and who's been a year off of football. We don't know what kind of shape he's in. And to expect the world of him, that's where I'm worried. And I think taking somebody like an Elijah Hood makes sense. It kind of gives you a little bit more of a leeway of sorts, you know.
I want everyone to go back, including yourself, Josh. And the main thing about Marshawn Lynch is Marshawn Lynch loves giving the FU. I know a lot of people do, and a lot of people say that they love doing that. But Marshawn Lynch constantly does it. Anytime the league says you can't do this, what does he do? He goes out and just does the bare minimum. Anytime teams say you can't do it, Marshawn Lynch is all about, he's a man of principle. I'm not even the biggest Marshawn Lynch fan. But with that being said, even if the rumors are true that he's going to be held under 200 carries for the year, his red zone performances are what is going to make him fantasy relevant. He might not have the most yards for his team, but I guarantee he will have the most rushing touchdowns for the Oakland Raiders this year.
Do you guys know how many rushing attempts Latavius Murray had last year?
I think it was under 200, yeah, wasn't it?
It was under 200.
195. Yep.
How many touchdowns? 8?
12. He still finishes as running back 13.
Yep, and that's I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that Marshawn Lynch, barring injury, we'll be right on pace with that, because I think he will get more yards, to be perfectly honest with you.
Whatever. Let's move on.
Well, whatever. You know what? Let's take away Josh's whatever, because we're going to get into the fantasy relevance of these players here. And let's start with the quarterback, Derek Carr. So someone that helped me actually drastically last year. I was not able to get into my championship game, but I was able to ride Derek Carr and Ben Roethlisberger all the way to third place. And Derek Carr was kind of a little bit of a surprise last year, right? I mean, I don't know if anyone thought he would be as fantasy relevant as he was.
I did.
Tom did. Josh, you were kind of on the bubble like I was, fair to say?
I think me and Josh both had him as a top 12
guy. Well, Josh just shook his head and agreed with me, so mind your business, Tom. I'm talking to Josh now.
Well, he was a top 12 guy for me, but I didn't... Who would have thought that he would have been, top 4 throughout the whole season and then, you know, kind of...
He wasn't top 4.
Well,
you guys are saying how good he is. He missed one game. Andrew Luck missed a game and finished 4th.
Yeah.
So it's not like Derek Carr beat the brakes off the NFL last season finishing 11 and missing one game.
How many seasons?
3rd year.
Right. So this was his 3rd year and he missed...
Andrew Luck's 3rd year, he finished 1st, so...
Again, we're not saying that he's one of the MVPs of the fantasy year. We're just talking about fantasy football relevance here. He still finished in the top 10.
Which is good.
After missing a game. 11. Which is good. Which is not what people thought he was going to finish. 11. Okay. My apologies, Tom. My point is, with what Derek Carr had, people weren't expecting him to be a top 11 running back. This year.
Quarterback.
Now you're just pissing me off, Tom.
You said running
back. I know I did. Damn it. Anyways, moving on. What are your thoughts on Derek Carr going into this season? I don't know what to expect from him. Obviously, coming off of the leg injury, I have one stat, and again, it's not necessarily fantasy relevant, but I felt like it was worth being shared. In the entire Derek Carr era, the Oakland Raiders, and this is from NFL Reddit, I went back and verified that this is true. The Oakland Raiders have a 2-16 record against playoff teams for that year. Both of their wins coming against Brock Osweiler, who is now outside of the Houston Texans. So maybe not as good as what, you know, he's being thrown out there as. I'm not sure. I like Derek Carr. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are.
I like Carr. We've seen him get better every year. That is what you want from players, especially players playing the quarterback position. I like the weapons. Him and Amari Cooper definitely have a good feel for each other. Crabtree as well, hoping Jared Cook can help that offense out as well. Tim's boy, Patterson, another weapon. Well, I really don't think he's that much of a weapon, but Tim thinks he's going to have like 2,000 yards this year. But
never said that.
But Carr, you got to love this dude. 15 games last year, under 10 total turnovers. That is fantastic. There are games where you kind of wanted to pull your hair out. He had a couple games last year, under 10 points, one where he only scored 5. And that was against the Kansas City Chiefs, a team he's going to be playing twice. They have had his number in the past. You just got to hope that he can play better against his division. But overall, he deserves to be a number one quarterback, and that's how he's being drafted right now.
Yeah, against some of those tough defenses, man, he's had some lame duck performances. The 5-point, another 9-point game, Jacksonville's defense, who's turning out to be pretty decent. He had 12 against that one, Denver 7. It's just, man, some of those games are just a little frustrating, but yeah.
I agree that they're frustrating, but I think that's part of the reason you should be so excited about Derek Carr is a quarter of his games are against two fantastic defenses in the Chiefs and the Broncos, and he's still a top 11 quarterback, Tom. Not a top 10 running back. He's a top 11 quarterback. So he's worth at least, I think he's being overdrafted right now, personally. I would not draft him early in any draft, and I would not, you know, necessarily feel comfortable with starting him every week strictly due to the division that he's in. And now adding Marshawn Lynch, I think that takes away even more of his value. But he's someone that if I had the situation I had last year with Big Ben and Derek Carr, which is a very possible scenario to get into, I'm feeling fantastic if I have those two guys.
Yeah, right now he's getting drafted as the 9th quarterback overall right now.
I think it's too early. Just don't think he's at that elite level yet because we brought up those tough defenses. He faced them 3 times last year because he missed the final one against Denver, held under 10 points in each one of those games. So pretty much next year when he's playing KC and Denver, you're probably going to want to find another quarterback. So he's going to be in that tier where you're looking to stream him, have him and another quarterback. Don't be reaching for Carr, but he's still a good fantasy option.
7 of his 15 games that he started in last year, over 20 points, which, I mean, is okay for a QB1. It's good. Let's see. It's not Andrew Luck numbers, Tom, but it's good, like I was saying about Derek Carr all along. Let's move on here to the running back position, and this is the Marshawn Lynch show. This is the big question of the year. One of the most interesting positions of the year, in my personal opinion, of what Marshawn Lynch brings to the Oakland Raiders. Is he going to be the guy? The Raiders have been without the guy for a long time. Is he going to be the Marshawn Lynch that we all know and love?
I'm a little nervous about Lynch. That report saying he's going to be held under 200 total touches is a little nerve-wracking. People are drafting him as a number one running back. He's probably going to score a ton of touchdowns. Oakland's very good blocking, run blocking, especially inside the 5-yard line. You got to look at layabouts Murray last year having those 12 rushing touchdowns. And as old as Marshawn Lynch is and coming off a year where he sat out, I would take Marshawn Lynch over layabouts Murray any day of the week. So you got to expect him to get close to 700-800 yards and 10-plus touchdowns. It's still a serviceable running back. I just don't think he should be drafted as a number one right now.
Yeah, and there's people that are drafting him as a number one. I think he's a definite RB2 option and the possibilities of getting, you know, double-digit touchdowns. I think it's possible. But again, I don't see a ton of yardage, and I don't see a ton of carries. I could see a Latavius Murray scenario here, which is good for fantasy owners because as an RB2, that's what you're hoping for. But those people that are waiting for, what is he getting drafted as?
10th overall.
The 10th overall. That's running crazy. Back. Like, I just don't see that. I don't know. Me personally, I don't see that. There's other running backs I'd rather draft over him. And in 2015, he was injured most of that year.
He was terrible.
Yeah, it had a 3.8 yards per carry. It wasn't a great year for him. And all the news was in the Super Bowl because he didn't get the ball. Nobody talked about how terrible of a year he actually had. So, kind of crazy to think of.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I feel like if I'm a mid-round pick for a full redraft league, if I'm at, like, you know, sixth overall, and then I get a round in the snake draft and he's there, you know, I guess the biggest question to me is, you know, would I prefer Marshawn Lynch in front of a... Who's being drafted late? Like a Devonta Freeman? Or is it Lamar Miller?
Gurley, Miller, Fournette, yeah. McCaffrey, Ingram.
I mean, I would probably take him before them. Like Lamar Miller, I would take Marshawn Lynch in front of Lamar Miller. Strictly due to how great that offensive line is. And with that team, with how great that offense is, that team's going to be in the red zone a lot. And I like his production there.
Tim, in a 12-team league, he's going 3-1 right now. Would you take him there?
At 3-1, so I think I would.
I just think it's too early. Cause I would, like, especially in a PPR, I'd rather have Gurley. I'd rather have Miller. Yeah, Miller laid an egg last year, but he still had a good year. He was a top 20 running back. I think he's going to get better this year. I don't think they'll use him as much, but I think he'll be fresher. I think Fournette has a higher upside. I'd rather have Crowell over Lynch, and he's being drafted 20 picks after Lynch right now.
And you got to think, too, with the Oakland Raiders, they drafted a running back, regardless if it's a seventh rounder. They have Jalen Richard, who was an undrafted free agent that they signed. They have DeAndre Washington, who was not a very high pick either. And those are two guys that they feel very comfortable with. So I think with Hood or with Elijah coming in, it doesn't speak to doom for him, and I don't think it speaks doom for Lynch either, but I think it's definitely a competition.
For me, Oakland, it's straight up running back by committee, and there's no reason that you should be drafting a running back. The lead dog in a running back by committee is a top 10 running back. I just think it's ludicrous, and people are overdrafting him based on his name.
It definitely very well could be the case. Again, one of the most interesting situations to monitor, which we will be monitoring all through the season. Let's move on to wide receiver. Again, a few guys here. Michael Crabtree obviously has been fantastic, right on par. Same numbers, three more touchdowns than one. Amari Cooper, who is the rising star, as Tom always likes to say. Yes, Tom always likes to say. The third year is the breakout year for wide receivers and defines what they will end up becoming. And then you even have a Seth Roberts. Seth Roberts, 5 touchdowns last year. I mean, obviously just under 400 yards, but 5 touchdowns is nothing to shake a stick at. You add Cordarrelle Patterson. Guys, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely love Cooper this year. All about him last year, and he finished 13th. Going into his third year, like Tim brought up, and I think he's going to break out, in all honesty. He's only going to be 23 years old, and he's already put up 2,000-yard years. He's getting better each year, and I expect his touchdown total to get better. He needs to work on his drops. Has had quite a few focus drops in the past, but him and Carr, it's going to be something special. It's going to be something fun to watch for the next 5-10 years. But Crabtree, he's Mr. Reliable. I don't see him being a number one like he was last year, but I could see him late teens, early 20s, finishing somewhere there.
I think Crabtree and Cooper are both going to finish this year with 1,000 yards again each.
Yep.
And the reason why I say this is a couple different reasons. One, they don't have a true third option in the receiving game. You have Cook, whatever, it's not a big deal. You have the great Patterson, as Tim alluded to, and then you have Seth Roberts, who was pretty decent last year. He had five touchdowns last year, but only 38 receptions on 77 targets and only just under 400 yards. There's not a super reliable third guy, and that's why I think you're going to see Crabtree and Cooper both break over the 1,000-yard mark again.
Amari Cooper is going to take a giant step forward in fantasy value this year. He's going to be a top six, top seven wide receiver probably, in my opinion. And Michael Crabtree is going to take a giant step back. I have Crabtree and Patterson being within 50 points of each other in fantasy value. I don't think Patterson's going to have a monster year, but I feel like he's going to take enough of the value away to bring him and Crabtree much closer to each other.
Did you say 15 or
50? 5-0.
5-0.
Right. So I mean, you're talking about guys who were, over 75 points difference last year. They were actually closer to 90. I'm sorry, I mean 120 was their point differential in fantasy. So I feel like that gap is going to close dramatically. And I feel like Cordarrelle Patterson, again, he's not going to be a star, but Michael Crabtree, let's face facts here, he has overachieved. And if you're not seeing that, as much as you guys like to give me, give me the business on, guys like Ted Ginn Jr. and now Cordarrelle Patterson, Michael Crabtree was one of those guys who's gone out there and overachieved.
I don't know how you can say that. Michael Crabtree was a guy that was drafted very early by the Niners, right? And was touted to be the next great wide receiver. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out for him. He should not have been the number one guy. He was drafted 10th overall. And you could tell he should not have been that go-to guy. And when he was at Texas Tech, he was that guy. He was awesome there. But going to the Niners, he just did not fit that system, did not fit that mold. Now going to Oakland here, it is just such a much better system for him. He doesn't have to be relied on to be, quote-unquote, the guy. He can be the number two but still be productive. Do I think he's going to score 8 touchdowns and be that red zone and touchdown vulture, taking those touchdowns away from Amari Cooper? I've seen weekends where Tom was so mad yelling at the TV at Michael Crabtree because he's taking those touchdowns from Cooper. I don't think so. I think those touchdowns will go down, like you said. I think it's going to be the Amari Cooper show this year for that offense, but I still think Crabtree will have over 1,000 yards. He is Mr. Reliable, and when you need to make a throw, you know that he's probably going to catch the ball. But I think that Amari Cooper is going to be the guy in the red zone.
Only over 1,000 yards in 2 of his 8 seasons, last year being his first one since 2012. The touchdown, is what I'm more interested in to see how that evolves. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, but I mean, that's exactly it. That's to my point. That's where we're talking about that. He was thrust into that role to be the guy, and he didn't do well in that situation. So it is what it is, and I think we'll still see a good year out of him. All right, let's move on to tight ends, Tim.
All right, so tight ends it's pretty interesting. I think obviously last year they had a couple guys who put up some numbers, but they bring in Jared Cook, who comes in from the Green Bay Packers, who was
not good last
year. Not
good
in the regular season. No.
Not good at all.
No.
Two good games.
Right. So, but in the playoffs, he obviously came out. He had week 11 for the Packers and had week 15. But they had last year was Clive Walford was one of their, everyday tight ends. Jared Cook, I feel like, got a lot of love there at the end of the season, especially for what he put up in the postseason. I am a big Jared Cook supporter, but definitely a guy who has never fulfilled what his talent says he can do. Are you guys looking at Jared Cook whatsoever?
No.
Yeah, I'm not looking to draft him whatsoever. Oakland, they like to run the football, and they got Mr. Lee Smith to do the blocking for those play calls. Clive Walford has also been kind of consistent for Oakland, knows the playbook. Jared Cook hasn't really been able to stay healthy. He missed another 6 games last year. Had Aaron Rodgers throwing the football and only producing 2 games in the regular season, like Tim brought up. Right now, he's being drafted as tight end 16. His ADP is going up, though. He's up 16.5 spots the last 7 days, so people are kind of getting on that bandwagon. I just think it's too much of a reach, in all honesty, if possibly take him super late, but he's going in the 12th, 13th round. That's way too early for me.
Yeah, no thank you. I don't want anything to do with Jared Cook. I'd rather have an Eric Ebron, a Jack Doyle. I'd rather just have a couple of those guys over Jared Cook. I don't know what I'm getting out of Jared Cook, and I feel more comfortable with some of those other guys later on if I wanted to wait on a tight end that late.
Yeah, Jared Cook to me is the type of guy that you're looking at, you know, if your tight end gets injured or if you have to fill a bye week and he's on the waiver wire, that's the type of position I'd fill Jared Cook in at. Guys, other than that, I don't have anything. I don't necessarily believe we need to talk about the Raiders defense. So yeah, that's all I got.
Draft Sebastian Janikowski.
See you, Bass?
Everyone forgets about him. Pretty consistent kicker.
Yeah, pretty consistent for the most part. So can always kick a long one when you need him to. Let's go ahead and talk about where we think that the Raiders are going to end up on the year.
I think the Raiders are the best team in this division. I think they're the best team last season as well. But the injury of Derek Carr kind of threw their whole season off. I think they're going to be one of the number one contenders to take the Patriots' throne in the AFC. I got them at 13-3.
Wow. 13 wins. I don't necessarily I wouldn't go that far. I do believe that this is going to be a good football team, and their schedule isn't terrible. But I have them at the 10-6 range, competing again for that AFC West championship.
I like that 12-4 mark again from last year. I look at the first part of the season; it's pretty favorable for them. The Titans, Jets, Redskins, Broncos are kind of tough. Redskins are kind of tough. Ravens, I think, will be a win. Chargers will be a win. But then when you get to that last portion of the year, you have the Patriots, the Broncos, the Giants, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Eagles, and then the Chargers. That little block right there with the Patriots, Broncos, Giants, and Chiefs, and Cowboys right there, that's going to be deciding if they're going to be 12-4 or if they're going to have 10 wins.
So. I can't wait to see them play the Patriots.
Why?
I just think those are the top two teams right now in my eyes to come out of the AFC. I just want to see how good the Raiders actually are and if they can compete with the New England Patriots.
Well, that's my biggest concern. That's why I have them at 10-6, is because I don't think their defense is there yet. I just don't think their defense is on the level that it needs to be to keep even. I mean, it'll be the Titans. They have a ton of weapons. The Redskins have a ton of weapons. Even the Chargers, a ton of weapons. How will they compete with those teams? Yeah. Those are the three teams that I'm looking at leading up to the bye week, week after the bye week against the New England Patriots. Because if they can't keep up with those three teams, then they're going to get absolutely torched by the Patriots.
One bold prediction. Let's go.
Amari Cooper, top five wide receiver.
Michael Crabtree, under 5 touchdowns this year.
Yeah, I could see that. Cordell Patterson is the number 5 wide receiver on the team.
I like it. I'm so mad.
He's goddamn terrible. I don't know what to tell
you. All right. You'll see.
All right. Crabtree outscores the turd by
Cordell Patterson.
85 points.
Cordell Patterson, top 30 wide receiver.
Oh, my God. Oh my lord. Don't tell people that. Guys, I hope he's just joking.
You said you wanted a bold prediction. That's a bold prediction?
That is super bold.
That's a dumb bold prediction. Anything else, guys? That it?
Oh my God, no.
All right, that's all we have for you guys this episode. Hope you enjoyed the breakdown of the Oakland Raiders besides the Cordell Patterson prediction.
Cordell
Patterson. Again, we are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can find us on Twitter at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. You guys can always email us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. Check out our website, ponycakesports.com. Hit up our friends on their website, cleatgeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at cleatgeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. Tim, what do they have going on?
They have the banjo stringing contest from 2015 airing live.
Check from 2015. I like that. Check that out. And, yeah, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you enjoy, and see you next time.